You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for a Friday, the 8th of November. The MVP is in town. We will deep dive on Giannis today. The Jazz, Donovan Mitchell has been brilliant. We'll look at how he has been a bit different than years past. Is the Jazz offense as far off as we think? What does it need to do to be rectified? And some minor brain dump items to close the week. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers. I hope you're doing great. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you do not follow me on Instagram at DLock09, then you're missing a few things. So Ron Boone and I do a shoot-around report before every shoot-around. Ron Boone and I have that for you, and then we have a bunch of the live interviews as well. So that's available for you too. Instagram DLock09. I'm actually snapping. So if you younger kids out there want to get together on Snap, I'm actually doing some Snap stuff every now and then. It's DLock9, not 09. At halftime, I try to drop in little story reports for you of what's going on in the game. Also, Ron Boone and I go live an hour before every game on the floor. It's pretty fun. You got to watch Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid warm up the other day. So we do that for you as well, and then postcast afterwards. Super thanks yesterday. Everybody was amazing with the questions. I thought it was really, that was as felt as active and good as a live show as we've done in some time. So I really want to thank you for that. All right, Donovan Mitchell has been great so far this year. He is doing everything I think we would hope him to be in him jumping, making the jump and doing the second or third year and all of that. And the group over at 538 is trying a brand new kind of way to look at players. And they've done some interesting things. So they've combined both Raptor, which is their new offensive metric, and WAR into some things. And in that case, Donovan comes out right now as the third most overall Raptor WAR Raider in the NBA. Dame Lillard and LeBron James are better. And that's it. Luka Doncic, Montrezl Harrell, Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Jonathan Isaac, Tristan Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, then Aaron Baines. Got to love that. He has been good. Andre Drummond, the rest. If you then Rudy Gobert pops in there next, obviously. If you just want kind of the fun. So just their Raptor stat, which is their new metric in which on how to evaluate off players that they built this year. The most impactful offensive player, according to Raptors, Kyrie Irving, followed by James Harden, followed by Dame Lillard, followed by Aaron Baines. The value of pick setting, Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron, Malcolm Brogdon, Luka Doncic, Derrick Rose, and then Donovan. So kind of awesome. The best defensive players, according to Raptor, are funky to me. They don't... I actually can't totally figure out what's going on in this, but it looks like it's Alex Len. Oh, here we go. Alex Len, Will Barton, Jonathan Isaac, Rudy Gobert, Mo Wagner. That's funky to me. Alex Len is too, but Len was pretty good last year defensively, and Dwayne Dedman wasn't. Might be why Sacramento's not very good. Anthony Davis, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Mason Plumlee, and then Bam Adebayo. They're overall Raptors. Will Barton's their number one player in the league, which probably is not great for their metric. Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Dame Lillard, Aaron Baines, Kawhi Leonard, Donovan Mitchell, Montrezl Harrell, and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's positive offensively, negative defensively. Kind of awesome. If you're wondering, the worst players according to Raptor so far. I always want to know this. We're not going to points gained quite yet. Next Friday, probably we go points gained. Eric Gordon, Jarrett Culver of the Timberwolves, Miles Turner, Kai Bowman of the Warriors, Darius Garland of the Cavaliers, Thon Maker, Marco Gudurch of the Grizzlies, small forward, shooting guard, Marco Bellinelli, Markieff Morris, Steven Adams, surprisingly. Larry Nance Jr., Kevin Herter, surprisingly, of the Hawks. Jeff Green, Rui Hoshimura get in there as well. Worst defensive Raptor players so far this year. Frank Jackson, Miles Turner, surprising. Austin Rivers, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hoshimura, Eric Gordon, Eric Paschal, Warriors, Jeff Teague, Kai Bowman, Jarrett Culver, Colin Sexton, Larry Nance Jr. No Jazz players show. Worst offensive players, Cam Reddish, Hawks, Dwayne Dedman, Kings, and I just said he wasn't very good defensively. Alex Len, Matisse Thybulle, Grant Williams, Celtics, Daniel Tice, Celtics, Terrence Ross, Darius Garland, Dwayne Bacon, Bruce Brown, Darius Bosley, Jarrett Culver, Timberwolves. Jarrett Culver's having a tough start to the season. Jeff Green floats in there at the end. So that's just kind of a fun thing. Then the next one I wanted to look at was how different is Donovan? So last year, Donovan took 4 shots at the rim, 6 shots in the key non-restricted area, 3 mid-range shots, 7 threes a game, 1 corner three a game, or 7 overall, 1 of them corner. He shot 59% at the rim. There's a lot of numbers here. Don't worry, I'll bring them back around. 40% in the key, 42% on his mid-range, and 53% effective field goal percentage on his threes. So how different is he this year? Is there anything else? The other thing last year is he took 10 jumpers a game. He got 10 possessions a game in transition, and he had 29 pick-and-roll possessions a game. Those are kind of the key things. He had 17 drives. Again, 10 jumpers. They are not all in separate Venn diagram circles. 10 transition opportunities, 29 pick and rolls, 17 drives. So that was last year. How different is Donovan? Let's go to whether he's being used differently. So instead of 17 drives, he's actually down to 14 drives. Instead of 29 pick and rolls, he's actually down to 25 pick and rolls. 10 transition, the exact same. And his jumper, he's using one less. So he's actually doing everything a little less than he did a year ago. Now where's he shooting differently? He's taking one less shot at the rim. His shooting percentage is up 3 percentage points. His floater in the mid-range, or the floater in the key paint non-restricted, he's taking the same amount. I really thought he had dropped that. He's at 5.7, and last year he was at 6.4. So let's say he's down 1. So that's good. And he's shooting at 44% instead of 40% last year. That's not a great shot. He has increased his mid-range. He's taking 2 more mid-range games. He's hitting 55% on his long twos. He is shooting 16 percentage points better than the average player in the league would on those shots. Probably not sustainable, but awesome. And if he's on either angle, he's just killing it. Right angle is effective field. His field goal percentage is 71. Angle left, his field goal percentage is 62. Amazing. His three-point shooting, he's taking, instead of 7 a game, he's taking 4. But his effective field goal percentage is 67% on those. He's, again, 16 percentage points above what anyone else in the league is doing, what the average player in the league does on that. So his shot chart, it's this little less at the rim, same in the key, more mid-range, less threes. All of that is wrong. Like, that shouldn't work. And probably because the chances that he could shoot the level he's shooting right now for the whole season are unlikely, he probably needs to skew it back a little bit. But boy, has he been great. The likelihood that he shoots 16 points better than league average on his mid-range shot is 0. Like, that's just, Steph Curry doesn't do that. What is worth noting is his catch and shoot game is amazing. He's at 50% on catch and shoot threes, and he's 33% on off the bounce threes. The likelihood is that mid-range is going to drop into the 40s, at which point that 33% off the bounce three is the better shot. But let's let it evolve. He has been simply brilliant. And it's really, really cool to watch. I have been telling you for a little while about a guy named Eric Ellis, who is a Grayson Allen lover. Well, that's not really fair. I've just kind of stuck this on him for the fun of it. He owns Stealth Media. I haven't heard from him about Grayson Allen since Grayson Allen started the year shooting 31% from the field and 26% from three. Grayson Allen has the most beautiful jump shot that just never goes in. That's what I told Eric. The real story is Eric and I were having lunch. He was telling me about Stealth Media, and I was, and he was lamenting the fact that we gave up Grayson Allen a little more than I thought was necessary. But let's remember that when I was a kid, Eric's not a kid, but when I was a kid, I like threw things across the house when we traded Eric Murdoch out of Providence for Jay Humphries, because I was convinced that Eric Murdoch was going to be better than John Stockton. So it's okay, Eric. We all have our moments. All right, I'm just kidding. Eric's done a bunch of cool things. He has built, got a bunch of DirecTV and AT&T. He has specialized in large man cave type TVs, 65-inch, 75-inch, 82-inch, 4K state-of-the-art smart TVs. He's got better pricing than Best Buy can beat him. He delivers it and he installs it. They also can do next-day installation on all of their DirecTV and their AT&T. It's a great combo. So if you, if you're looking to make the switch, you can do both at the same time. And when you do, you end up getting great use on the road, because DirecTV, you can stream DirecTV through your phone. It doesn't count for usage. And you also get all of, you get the best quality. You get the best pricing when you do them both. And you can get NFL Sunday Ticket for free if you put them all together. So that's good old Eric. He's kind of pissed. Whoops, that's not the right word. He's kind of upset with me about the fact that I keep bringing up this Grayson Allen thing. So why don't you feel free to call Stealth Media and ask for the Grayson Allen lover? 385-399-4186. 385-399-4186. By the way, if I could give you all a business suggestion, if you have a client whose advertising renewal is coming up here shortly, I would suggest not doing a live endorsement spot in which you make fun of the guy's favorite player. It's not. And call someone his favorite player who's not his favorite player. It may or may not be true that Eric was wearing a Memphis Grizzlies Grayson Allen jersey. I don't know if that's true. I cannot confirm or deny such a story. Stealth Media, 385-399-4186. That's 385-399-4186. All right, let's look at Giannis. We're going to do a little similar to kind of what we did with Donovan. Because Giannis is better than he was a year ago. And it's insane. Like, I don't know how this has happened, that Giannis could actually get better, but Giannis has actually gotten better. So here's the first thing that's simply the most amazing about Giannis. Last year, Giannis took 17.3 shots a game with an effective field goal percentage of 59%. Like, that's insane. This year, Giannis is taking the exact same amount of shots. His effective field goal percentage is 61.5. And according to QSQ, it's on the exact same quality shots. Like, you don't go, first of all, nobody has an effective field goal percentage of 59. You don't actually get better from that. So let's look at the same, let's look at some of the same things on him that we kind of looked at with, so how has he gotten better? In 18-19, he shot 75% at the rim. Okay, that's ridiculous. He shot 53% in the floater zone. And he took, of his shots, he took 12.7 shots a game in the paint. Right? He doesn't shoot outside very well. Till the other night, which just must have sent shivers down the entire league. This year, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? This year at the rim, Giannis Antetokounmpo is shooting 86%. He is playing with such insane vigor and attack. It's incredible. Last year, he shot 53% in the paint non-restricted, so the floater zone. That, on the quality shots he got, because he's closer to the rim than most guys, he was 4 percentage points better than the league average. This year, he's 16 percentage points better than the league average, and he's shooting 64%. He's actually taking fewer shots in the paint than he did a year ago. He just never misses. And you really can't keep him out of there. So last year he took 12.7 shots. This year he's taking 11.4. But this year he's shooting 86% and 64%. There is nothing about his mid-range game that's really that different. He's now taking six shots outside of the paint a game. He has not made a single shot from anywhere other than straight away in the mid-range. So baseline left, baseline right, angle left, angle right, straight away. Those are the five kind of zones we look at. He has not made a single shot, baseline right, baseline left, angle right. He's made 35% of his mid-range jumpers straight away. It's not very good. Last year, he made 43%. So he actually might get better. And the same thing, he was not good on any of the wide, anything that wasn't just straight away. His threes this year, still not good. He's at his effective field goal percentage on his threes are 36%. He's shooting 19 percentage points below what league average is. So he's not good. His effective field goal percentage is just not good. His catch and shoot is getting a little better, but anything off the bounce is not great. And yet you can't keep him out of the paint. So let's look at shot type for a second. Last year, he took 11 layups and 5 jumpers a game in 18-19. And he did it with 13 drives, 13 in transition, and 11 times coming off a pick. Like, he's playing very little pick and roll. He'll come off a handoff every now and then. He's incredible on his drives. He's better in transition. He's incredible. So what's this year? Here's the crazy thing. MVP of the league. We're all trying to change him. 10 layups a game. Exact same. One more jumper. He's taken one of his layups and turned it into a jumper. It's not good. But he's 80% on his layups. He is driving to the basket the exact same amount of times, 13 times a game. He is in transition the exact same amount of times, and he's coming off a pick as a screener one less time. It's the exact same. He's just better at it. It's totally incredible that this guy around the basket is shooting 86% restricted area, 64% the key. Now, we have Rudy. So what happened last year? Last year, Giannis shot against the Jazz, instead of the 75% he shot the rim against the Jazz, he suddenly shot 65%. Now, he took 15 shots in two games in the restricted area against the Jazz, each game against the Jazz last year. So he took 31, he regularly takes, last year he took six shots a game, or eight shots a game in the restricted area. He took 15 against us. So we backed Rudy all the way back. We tried to force him into outside shots. The first game it worked. The second game he just assaulted us and attacked the rim the whole time. But because of Rudy, that little floater in the paint, restricted area shot, is not very good. He was 6 of 15. That's a lot. He took a lot of shots. He took 56 shots in two games against us last year. He didn't kid around. He went 13 of 30 in his first one. He was 0 for 4 in the mid-range. He was 2 of 6 above the break. So against us last year, if he got outside of the paint, he was 2 of 10, which is kind of exactly what he is. He was 8 of 25 outside the restricted area against us last year, and just 65% at the rim. And 17 of his 28 baskets were unassisted. So he's just playing one-on-one, coming at you, but he got 9 dunks in 2 games against us last year. Kind of crazy. And we've got to find a way to slow that down. It's pretty interesting. He's just playing with a level of force and a level of demand and a chip on his shoulder that is significant and kind of awesome. And tonight's going to be just amazing to watch him. Milwaukee's really interesting. And they're doing some things analytically that are different than the rest of the league and makes me, analytics guy, says, we'll talk about it when we continue. Miami's doing it too. We'll talk about them both coming up. It is Locked On Jazz, brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Blake Murdoch and the guys, I talked to Blake yesterday, super, super fun conversation. He's just such a good guy. That's just the essence of this. The Murdoch family's been in Utah for 90 years, and they understand that anytime you go to their dealership, everyone there is representing the Murdoch family. And they like to phrase it as a no regrets experience. They don't want you to have one moment where you leave and say to yourself, oh, wow, I dealt with the Murdochs and nope, never going to experience that. Instead, everything they can do to impact your experience, service hours a little longer, service hours open for you, free car washes, free oil changes for life, all those little things that they can put into the package for you to make it better. And then in the case of Murdoch Hyundai, they've got a really neat brand in Hyundai that they're selling. The Hyundai technology is steps ahead of other people. Check it out. You'll get much more for your dollar than you would otherwise. The back seat, back door not opening to safety for the kids if a car is coming is a Hyundai exclusive right now. Eventually that opens up to everyone, but right now that's another example. The Palisade is the 8-seater that's taking everyone by storm. The Santa Fe is their regular SUV. We have one of those. There's the Tucson. There's the Kona that's the small zippy one. And the new Sonata is taking everyone by storm as well. It's all over at Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. If you're heading down there, call me. Or no, don't call me. Email me. Much better. Be strange if you called me, actually. One, I wouldn't answer. And two, we don't. Like, it'd be strange. I mean, if you really have to and you find my number, I guess you can. But I'd rather if you emailed me at dlock09, because then I can forward that email over to Blake. He sends it to his salespeople, and you have special treatment when you come in. That's all over at Murdoch Hyundai. Email me, dlock09@gmail.com. So, Milwaukee is the 9th best defense in the league. This is kind of the brain dump here for a second. Miami is the 3rd best defense in the league. And they're both doing something that's a little funky. So they're both allowing people to shoot threes. And it makes analytics boy over here a little uncomfortable. I don't quite understand it. So San Antonio is still number 1 in the league at denying three. Philadelphia is number 2 at denying threes. Like, this makes sense to me. Detroit's 3, Minnesota's 4, good for them with their new analytics, and Utah's 5 with the 2nd best at denying corner threes. Like, this all makes sense to me. Miami is allowing opponents to shoot 40% of their shots as threes, 31 is non-corner threes, 9% of their shots as corner threes. They're actually not even defending the rim that well, and yet somehow, some way, doing all of this, Miami is the 3rd best defense in the NBA. And they're doing it by being the 3rd highest team in the league in turnovers. So Miami looks to me as though they're just going to be so aggressive with their athletes. They're going to bother you so much. They're going to turn it over enough. Their offense may not be good enough because they turn it back over. And by the way, the whole idea that turnovers lead to bad defense, you know, this is like they're 27th in the league in turnovers and they're 3rd in defense. In fact, just to throw this out there for you, of the five of the top 12 defensive teams are in the bottom 10 in turnovers. Like, it just doesn't line up. Nonetheless, so Miami's doing this. It's kind of strange. Miami's allowing people to shoot threes, and then they're just defending at such an amazing rate. Milwaukee does this consciously. So Milwaukee and Toronto and Orlando and the Clippers all have a new philosophy that's out there. Now, Utah is one of the only teams in the league that can do both. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that Utah should change this. But this is really interesting. So Milwaukee's the fourth best team in the league at denying the rim. Toronto's the sixth best. Orlando's the best. And the Clippers are the second best. So philosophically, they're denying you the rim. They are to do it. They are allowing you to shoot threes. Not like totally allowing, but they are absolutely have decided, mathematically this is right, that we are going to deny the rim and give up a three. In the case of Toronto, they're actually giving up corner threes at an alarming rate. I don't know if that's sustainable. That math isn't as good on that. They're allowing 12% of their opponent's possessions to be threes right now. Crazy high number. But Milwaukee is 29th in the league at denying the three. Toronto's 28th, Orlando's 27th, and the Clippers are 26th. Even stranger is the four teams that allow the most threes are in the top 10 in effective field goal percentage defense. Miami's doing it by forcing turnovers and defending the mid-range shot. It's 20%, 25% of all shots, so they're defending it. So Milwaukee allows 39% of their opponent's threes. The Jazz should get threes tonight. Toronto allows 38, Orlando 37, and the Clippers 36. So that's worth kind of keeping an eye on there. And it means the Jazz, who just have not gotten as many threes, should. Defensively, by the way, just if you're wondering, Miami's the best in the NBA defending the three also. We're the fifth best at defending the three. Milwaukee's actually like just middle of the pack defending the three. Toronto's middle of the pack defending the three. The truth on defending the three is that the standard deviation gets very small. Like certain teams can get lucky for a while, but if you go to last year, we've talked about this before, the best team in the league at defending the three was Denver and Houston at 34.4%. You take out the top four, you get to 35%. You go to the worst team defending the three, it was Minnesota and Cleveland, 38. You take out the five, you get to 37%. All right, there's a 3 percentage point difference, not even that, a 2 percentage point difference between the fifth-ranked team in the league defensively and the 25th-ranked team defensively on the three. 2 percentage points. So, basically the league averages 36%. Teams are going to shoot 36% from three against you. That's no matter what you do defensively, which is 1.08 points. The rim, the reason people are doing this, is the rim, you shoot 63-65%. And so that's 1.25 points. So if every time you deny a rim shot, you force a three, you're saving yourself a lot. It'd be better to take a mid-range and force a mid-range, and the Jazz are one of the few teams in the league that can do that. But you should always deny the rim. That's what's going on. So the threes are opening up, which makes shooting even more important. And as everyone denies the rim in this league, that's becoming a bigger and bigger deal. Defensively, I had one other brain dump thought for you today. And I've talked about this before. I talked about it a lot with Favors. There is a huge value to a secondary rim defender. The Warriors had it for years with Kevin Durant, with Draymond Green. The Lakers have it right now with Anthony Davis when they're playing Dwight Howard, and they have it with LeBron, so they actually have three rim defenders. Boston's the fourth best defense in the league right now. I don't know who their second ones are. Nikola Vukovic is not really a rim defender, but Jonathan Isaac is. The secondary rim defender, there are very, very few of them in the league right now, but I think they're really important. Milwaukee kind of has it with Giannis working with Brook Lopez. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Have a wonderful weekend. If you didn't catch Rejecting the Screen with John Hollinger, it was very good. John Hollinger and Nate Duncan will drop their show on Sunday night for you. Locked On NBA today is Anthony Irwin and Adam Matas. We give you all you need on Locked On NBA on Locked On Podcast Network to keep you all day with your podcasting. I would suggest, what should I suggest? Tell your smart speaker to play most recent episode. Oh, did you hear me in Golliver? I think that's what you should listen to. If you didn't hear me and Golliver yesterday, you should listen to that. So tell your smart speaker to play podcast. Locked On NBA. Have a great day.